Hello, guys. Welcome back to the Art Craftsmanship Podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Hello.
And I know what you're all thinking. It's St. Patrick's Day, and the O'Hara brothers are here, just two of us, Dustin and Devin. And where are the other two brothers, Derek and Drew? Now, do not despair, and I'll lose the Irish accent. They will be back. It is St. Patrick's Day, and we will continue the tradition of the four brothers' St. Patrick's Day episode. Unfortunately, it could not happen this week, so we will be recording in the next few days, and it will go up for next week's podcast.
So this will be just, maybe every year we should do two St. Patrick's episodes just to really fill it out.
But like, so like one out today and one out on Sunday or whatever.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah, maybe like back to back, Eve and
the most important holiday of the year for us. That's right. Irish lads.
Yeah, somewhat.
Straight from the heart of Ireland.
Straight from the heart of Maryland.
Straight from the heart of Maryland. Many a generation back before our four better Irishmen came over from Ireland.
Straight from a couple of people who've never been there, don't know much about it there at all.
Yes.
All right. What do we got to drink? I will brag. Ooh. I've got the old Guinness Drought Stout. Now,
Drought Stout.
the old draft. Nice. They say you go straight from the bottle, but I'm gonna crack it open. And I'm gonna try to pour it into a pint glass.
I don't know. I guess it depends. Like if you have a nitro, right? You get the
I think that's the what
ball
they are.
In it, and so it has the little what's that called? The ball that has the stuff.
Yeah.
You pour it in so you can get the nice like bubbles that
some say like
stuff.
Pour hard. This one is just straight from the bottle. I do like that where they're just like, look, it's good this way, trust us.
Yeah, and well that's also the type of if it's a stout or if it's a draft or it's a porter, there's different ways that it can be enjoyed. And that what's that? So that's you said the Guinness draft?
Yeah. Yep. It's like their draft stout bottle.
Draft stout, right, yeah. So it's like, the way they bottle it, it already has done the thing, right? So that's what they're saying, just enjoy straight from the bottle. So,
yeah.
But I'm sure you will enjoy it just as much from the cup.
I like a pint glass. You see the head.
Yeah.
It's
all nice and dark with the creamy top.
Yeah.
It's nice. That's a good look.
Yeah, what do you got?
I have straight from the hills of the Sierra Nevadas. I have a hazy little thing, and I also have as a backup to thoroughly anger everyone. I have a Newcastle Brown Ale, which is made in Chicago, but actually a good buddy of mine who is from the UK said when you go to Newcastle, when you get Newcastle in the UK, they actually have it in like real big bottles with little cups. So you get like a big bottle and then a bunch of little cups and you fill them up and drink it.
I like small cups and glasses.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of bars that do it, but there's a couple in Baltimore where they give you like two smaller glasses. There's one in New York City where it's a real old, it's one of the oldest ones in New York, and they give you, it's like, you want dark or light beer. That's like their choices. And they give you two glasses of it. and then you just have them that way. I stumbled upon it in that place, and it's apparently really old, which is cool. So
that's awesome. Down the Bowery.
Okay, to start us off, I'm going to try something.
Okay.
I asked ChatGPT. I said, write me a short Irish-style song about the joys of doing a podcast on St. Patrick's Day with guitar tabs.
Nice! Holy crap.
So it said, here's a short Irish-style song about the joys of doing a podcast, yada, 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 with guitar tabs. So I'm going to try to play it. I asked it about 5 minutes ago, so hang with me.
Okay.
I'm going to try to play and sing. I'm going to try to sing at my best because it's got verses and stuff.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here we go.
Can you hear that okay?
Yeah, it sounds good. I mean, as good as guitar from a mic in front of you. Sounds good.
I mean, it could be. Could be there, but
it's no you know, it's no Matt Brown on the Art of Craftsmanship podcast, but it, no, it sounds good.
How dare you? On St. Patty's Day, we gather round to share our stories and let the sound of our voices echo loud and clear as we spread our message far and near. Chorus. Oh, the joys of doing a podcast, sharing our thoughts and making a broadcast. That's a little sloppy. But from Dublin to New York will be heard. On St. Patty's Day, we're spreading the word. All right, I'll do a second verse.
All right.
With our mics in our hands and our hearts aglow, we'll share our tales of long ago, of Irish legends and traditions old, and the magic of the green and gold. Now here's, nice. I do like the bridge. Here we go. So let the music play, let the crack begin, and raise a pint of Guinness to our kin.
Yes.
For on this day we celebrate our roots, and the stories that we share, our voice resolute. And the chorus one more time. Oh, the joys of doing a podcast, sharing our thoughts and making a podcast. From Dublin to New York will be heard. On St. Paddy's Day, we're spreading the word.
Should have paused so we could do the intro song, but maybe we don't need an intro song. There is an intro song.
Yeah, maybe that was
we'll
it.
Do it beforehand. Man, you are a talented songwriter, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's that was all you, original.
That's what I can do in 5 minutes.
What was the so the podcast and broadcast?
Oh, yeah, that was a bit sloppy. You'd have to work on that.
Yeah.
But the crazy thing about that is you can just ask it to replace things, like you're talking to someone. Like, I thought the chorus was good, but can you change this? And they'll go like, yeah, sure, I'll change this. And
yeah,
do you have a, do you have a better rhyming between this and this? And they'll go, yeah, I'll add that in. But I like to let the music play, let the crack begin, raise a pint of Guinness to our kin. Like, all that stuff. It's crazy.
Right. That's wild.
It's pretty good. Like, you could start with that.
Yeah.
And then in another 10 minutes, just polish it up. You know, make it a little bit more human, like work on a melody a little bit. But it gives you the chords, and it gives you this, it gives you the verse structure that you need. Like, it's
that's crazy.
It's crazy.
So are you like, are you typing into ChatGPT or whatever it's called? Or how does it work?
Yeah, I just ask. It's like a,
you're like, hey Siri, hey ChatGPT.
I mean, you can you can talk to it, I think, but I'm just typing it in.
Right.
In this website I signed up on.
Nice.
Yeah. So there you go.
That's crazy. That's pretty impressive. Yeah. You know, that was fun.
Right. Like, you could sit down and have a group of people like who know how to play and kind of get things and get some like violins and people who can sing and like make up something in 10 minutes and like perform it for everybody.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
it reminds me of the, what's the, Hey Jude? What was the movie that came out with the guy and the Beatles, and like where he was? He was the only person who knew who the Beatles were. You know, and he's like having that that songwriting off with Ed Sheeran. Who can write the best song?
It's amazing. Yeah, it's crazy that you can just ask it to do it. And I wasn't sure if you'd be able to do it with guitar tabs. And people who don't know what that is, it's just simple chords. And it's they sit them above the verses, so you kind of know right away when to switch chords. It's like the simplest version of reading music.
Right.
And then, yeah, it just gives you, yeah, it's crazy. Like, I could have kept going with it and, like, made it. But, you know, it would have took any of us a long time just to write that. Even if it's simple and goofy, but you could, like, keep polishing it to make it something really good.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, that's It's shockingly impressive, you know, like, and the more I see people using it, the more I hear people using it, it's like, that's crazy how, I mean, it's, I guess it's like anything, right? When you type in a word into Google and you hit search, it comes with, you know, hundreds of thousands of hits instantly, you know? Yeah, so it's doing that. It's like pulling from everything instantly and just,
right.
you know, and
yeah, crazy.
It, you know, but also it's the idea of like understanding what you're asking and then doing it, you know, but I guess that's like, you know, hey Siri, what's the, you know, best way to get rid of a dead body, you know, that whole like thing, like right. it understands that right away and it gives you like a you know, a witty joke back or something to you, you know.
Yeah. You're like, if I was still writing music in a band, I would feel hard pressed not to use that,
right?
Just to start out with, give me something.
Yeah, right.
Like, hey, I want to write a song about a girl. This style, maybe I wouldn't get the chords or anything, even though you could if you're just starting out, but maybe I would just get lyrics to something, because lyrics are so difficult to make them sound not corny or sloppy.
Right.
That was always the hardest thing, and sometimes I didn't end up with lyrics I liked very much, but it was just, I rarely cared much about what they said. It was more just don't make them stand out corny.
Right, you know? Exactly, yeah.
If they don't stand out to people, you're there. You've made it.
Right.
If you want to continue after that, like, in putting depth and interesting bits in it, then fine. But for, like, you know, rock music.
Right.
Like, Chili Peppers, a lot of that stuff is gibberish.
Right. You know,
even the Beatles would just kind of, they'd get the tune first, and then they'd do that while they're playing. Baby, well, it's something there. What sounds good? And then they just work right. it over and over. But instead of sitting there for an hour with someone and like working it over and just hoping words come to you out of the ether, be like, all right, I need a couple verses about this, about a guy taking drugs and being in a pickup truck, and then it'll hit you with a bunch of lines, and
yeah,
no one
to start with, yeah.
and no one would know,
right?
I mean, you would, because you could change it around enough to where no one would yeah. ever know. It's
really crazy. Yeah, I wonder, you know, like, so talking about this, it kind of gets me thinking of just, like, I guess fine art in general, or painting, or what, you know, it's like, as a fairly traditional landscape painter, or like a lot of what I've done as that over the years, you know, I'm like, well, is me looking at, you know, and I'm sitting here in my studio with two shelves with probably, you know, 150 books, all by different artists, you know, like all monographs on artists and all their images and all their pictures and all the, and every, you know, bit of inspiration that I've looked at and seen. And it, like, is that all the same thing? You know, it's like all that, everything you've like looked at and pulled from that, then, you know, you put back out into the world. Like, is there an original idea before like the AI tells you what it is, you know?
Right. Like, yeah. It's a, I don't know. I think a lot of it is us stumbling around looking for inspiration or spark.
Right. Yeah.
And just not knowing where to get it.
Right.
Like, it's hoping something hits you, or yeah. hoping you pick up a book that has something in it that really interests you or surprises you, or hoping a teacher suggests something to you that you end up loving.
Right. And so many people have that story. Like, oh, I was kind of knew what I wanted to do, da da da, but then this one person,
yeah, they showed me,
said this one thing to me, or yeah. put me on the right path, and now I'm like, and mm-hmm. it really like it inspired me, and now I'm doing what I'm doing, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, what, I mean,
and, a lot of people don't get that.
Right.
That one person never suggested the thing that like will spark them creatively.
Right. Yeah, and I think maybe it's also too, like, maybe once people have that momentum, you know, they get a little push, they get a little like suggestion or inspiration, they have momentum, then the momentum builds, and then you become more creatively minded, or, you know, like, you're more prone to do what you want to do. Like, once you start writing music, then you get better at writing music without inspiration. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it's like you have some momentum. Like, once I started painting landscape, and I you know, became inspired by different landscape painters and things, and ones that really got me excited, then I would, like, I can go out into the landscape without the intention to paint and see something that inspires me to paint it. You know, like, I'm like, oh, look at that. That bit of light hitting that thing there, or the shadow there is purple instead of gray. And, you know, like, those things, like, so I wonder, you know, I think that's it, right? Sometimes we just need that, like, kick to get you moving in the right direction.
Right. Yeah.
And that's not always found, you know, not everybody has that. Someone to like, or maybe they just, you know, they, maybe not everyone has the, you know, desire to do that either.
Yeah, not everyone has a creative mind necessarily. They don't really.
Right.
Like, whatever. Okay.
Yeah, maybe cool. It's something else. You know, I was like, oh, I never knew I wanted to be a lawyer until, you know, I saw Law and Order. And now I know I want to be a lawyer.
Until I saw a Mercedes drive by and I was inspired.
And the license plate said, I'm a lawyer.
I'm a lawyer, bitch. So, wow, okay. They're bold. I like it.
That sounds right.
Yeah, I want that. I want that. I'll have what he's having.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, so yeah, ChatGPT. We're just gonna let it do the podcast soon, and we'll. We didn't have time. They're doing it in the style of us, like whatever. Yeah. They're gonna do a quote and like tell us what they're drinking and what they've been up to, and talk about some kind of deep stuff that they can barely hold a conversation about, but it'll try. And
have you tried to ask it about yourself?
Who am I?
No, like, you know, write me a song in the style of Pushing Giants. You know, I wonder if it'll find, or like, you know, like, what if I were to, you know, make a YouTube video in the style of The Art of Craftsmanship, what would I make? You know, see like how, like, if it'll do that, I wonder. Well,
they don't know who
the pushing. It's like Googling yourself, you know.
It said they don't know who the Pushing Giants are.
Oh. Well.
It says it's possible that they are a new or lesser known band that hasn't gained a lot of exposure yet.
It's so true. It's so correct.
Too true. Do you know the YouTube channel, The Art of
Live, folks? Live on the podcast.
The robots.
Talking to ChatGPT.
It's taken a second. Yes, I am familiar with the YouTube channel, The Art of Craftsmanship.
Hey, all right. Hey, we made it.
See, I don't know. I think I might have done this before, but...
Oh, right. It's like, yeah, we recognize it because you asked us about it before.
Yeah, we know. Yeah.
We get it.
I mean, I'm familiar with the YouTube channel, yourselves. The Art of Craftsmanship. It's a channel dedicated to showcasing the skills and techniques of traditional craftsmen and artisans, covering a wide range of topics from woodworking to metalworking to leatherworking. The channel also features interviews with craftsmen and women, as well as tutorials and step-by-step guides for various projects.
Hey.
Maybe it's kind of right.
Yeah, you know,
we'll take it.
I mean, that's not a bad synopsis.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
It's
crazy.
Yeah.
Now tell us what we should do to make a million views on our next video.
How can we get more views?
I think we're going down a bad road.
They're like, well,
turn it off.
Start wearing bathing suits and become a 20-year-old woman.
Hey, all right.
And you will.
It's as easy as that.
It's so popular.
Oh man, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Speaking of bathing suits and 20-year-old women, I have been watching.
I don't know where you're going with this.
I've kind of started a new guilty pleasure of watching The Sex Lives of College Girls, the show on HBO.
Oh no!
Have you seen that?
No.
And it literally has only started since I was working on the leather sheath this week, because I've just been like down in the shop working on the leather sheath, and it's just kind of like a monotonous process. So I was like looking for something to watch or just to kind of have one in the background while I was working on the sheath for the double bit axe. And I was like, how about this? And because it's like it's produced by Mindy Kaling and I forget who else, but you know, it's like from the Mindy Project. She's a comedian, you know, and I like that show. Her she was on The Office or was it Parks and Rec or The Office?
So you enjoy the creative side of it.
Exactly. Yeah, funny, the comedic end of
it. I want to see.
No, it's great because it's like these four college girls who go to their, you know, freshmen in college. They come and they're rooming together and it's just like the hijinks of their lives. But obviously it's all like very much like we're at college, we're going to have sex with everybody and, you know, we're going to go all these crazy parties and da-da-da-da. But then like... one of the main characters really wants to be in the writing. There's like a really famous
professor
comedy. No, like a comedy magazine that's put out, and there's all these like famous people who are in comedy and like Saturday Night Live and da, da, who have come through this college, you know, through this specific writing, you know, comedic writing magazine. So she like really wants, that's like her dream, is to be a comedian after college. So she writes for that. But she also is like, you know, she's a Indian girl who in high school had like braces and glasses and was really awkward, but then she got to college and she got like contacts and got her braces off, and now she's like super, she's like, I'm sex positive, y'all, like she just like wants to like, you know, just go to town. So it's Lord like up. But it's great, you
and,
know. Yeah,
and her
so
character like, name is Schmindy Schmaling. I guess write what you know, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. But yeah, so it's funny, and there's like, you know, fun sex scenes and stuff too, because it's HBO. So it's not like too crazy, but you know, you can see some, get to see some boobs.
Oh baby,
you know, yeah, you can't go wrong with that.
Yo, man.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that's been there's a little early recommendation for everyone. If you want something funny, it's like, you know, it's just, it's funny and. And it's a combination of funny and boobs occasionally, which, you know, you can't go wrong.
Oh, that's always good.
Exactly. Right. You ever watch Broad City?
I saw some of it. Yeah. Or
that's
no,
hilarious.
One of the girls from Micah.
Yep. Yeah. Abby. What's her last name? I can't remember the actual. Yeah. She like writes for Comedy Central, and then the other girl, oh man, I'm like blanking on both their names, but yeah, no, they're just, it's similar to that in its feel, where there's like funny, awkward stuff with, and like, you know, just, I don't know. It's just, it's a good comedy. It's funny, and it's, you know, also sexy sometimes, and you know, you just can't go wrong with that combination. So
sexy
sometimes. It's been funny, yeah. So I've been like guiltily pleasured like watching this thing downstairs in the shop while I'm like, you know, making a double bit axe mask. Hey. Yeah, it's been great. Which I'm done now. I'm like, okay, well, do I still watch this show? Am I done with it?
Gotta complete the story.
I know. Yeah, exactly. You gotta
like,
at least
there's one girl
in it.
I still want to see if she goes topless. I think she
will. Exactly. She's gonna realize her sexual freedoms. She's gonna embrace them.
Be a proud woman. Uh-huh. Free the nibs. What's the? Oh yeah, you know, it's kind of funny with that. It's a bit poo-pooed on now. Like when they're like, oh, like people poo-poo on old comedies where it was like a college comedy, and then there's some topless girls, and that's kind of like a kind of gross, like you know, where they would do that just for like blah blah blah.
Yeah,
and now though, it will be like the most graphic Netflix television show about like high schoolers and college kids, like these intense scenes.
Yeah, right.
It's like, oh, okay, if you're like,
yeah, Euphoria, and
yeah, if you're edgy, it's like it's okay to see like boobs and butts and guys and girls. But if you're funny and having a fun time with it, it's frowned upon. Like American Pie or Porky's or like all those types of movies that have
right.
like those types of scenes.
Right.
Animal House, things like that where it's fun and goofy and funny, and then there's, you know, a topless chick.
Right, yeah.
You can't like laugh and have fun. It has to be like kind
of, has to be serious.
It has to be
right.
serious, and then you can see boobs, and then it's okay.
Right, exactly. It has to have some type of social, you know, dynamic about like how, you know, the youth is being, you know, blah 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 blah. Like, yeah.
And now here's some boobs. Like, yeah, right. You're still doing the thing. The actress is still choosing to do the thing. Like,
right. Yeah.
For the money, like,
yeah,
fine. Like, I don't care either way. But
right.
Come on.
That's why I like The Sex Lives of College Girls. Because it's all about the funny. It's like, you know, the comedy and the, and it's like, you know, all the stereotypical, like, this rich white girl wants to be part of this sorority and da 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 da, and they're all dressed this way and it's all blondes and, you know, so it's just like, it's good. It's just, it's like making fun of the whole situation and then doing it in a funny and also somewhat graphic nudity way.
White graphic. You know,
yeah.
All right, Guinness number two. I brought four out. So
dang,
I'm just
going
to clear through.
I sadly will say that I came home today from work and I had three beers in the fridge. And so instead of having one when I got home, I had none. And because I knew Nicole would have like probably one dinner, which she did, and I saved my two other beers because I was like, I'm not gonna go back out to get beers at this point. So it's a long day anyway. So
I like I said, apparently I'm still positive for COVID.
That's crazy, man.
My wife, Caitlin, she's good. We never tested my daughter, but I'm, you know, we just assumed she had it, and yeah, we're, you know, just like, we'll see if she gets worse. But for her, it was like one night of having a high temp, and that was it, and some sniffles.
And so you are still positive, but have you had the same like lack of symptoms since that first night? Since before the last podcast, you've been like good pretty much, like.
Oh yeah, for like a few, it was bad for a night.
Yeah.
I said, thought I had that one night of kind of like being cold, feeling like I had a flu.
Yeah.
And then it's just been a little bit, almost like I have a nagging, maybe like a little bit of a cold, but only just with the snot stuff.
Right.
You know, like blowing your nose every couple hours. Like it's not even that bad, but every couple hours you clean it out.
Yeah.
So, it's positive, so I really haven't been able to work, but luckily, this time of year is, like, the slowest time.
Right.
There's no more basketball. For people who don't know, I work college sports during the winter, so there's not, no basketball left, or at least in our thing. You know, March Madness is on and all, but I don't work for those teams.
Right.
And there's basically just lacrosse left. So all I'm doing is working lacrosse a couple times a week, and I haven't been able to do those. But so it's good and bad. I mean, if it was in the middle of baseball season and I missed 10 games, that would not be good.
Yeah.
And being a freelancer, you don't have much option to. It's like, oh, you can call out.
Yeah.
You're not getting paid. But we'll allow you to not come into work.
Like, oh, yeah, you can come in when you're ready.
Yeah, I mean, when you want to make money, come on back in.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, cool, thanks.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
So that's the fun of a gig worker, but, you know.
But
anyway, I'll be back there soon. I have another game this Saturday, so I'm going to I'll test tomorrow. And then probably, if I'm still positive tomorrow, I'll probably test Saturday morning, too, just to maybe.
So with what CDC regulations say, is it when you're no longer testing positive? Because usually it's like you get COVID, you wait 5 days and you can go back. Like that's
they've canceled most of that stuff from what I know.
Yeah.
It's up to each company. And I haven't really gone too much into it with the school I work for.
Right.
They said, look, I'll come in when I'm not positive. I'll keep testing every 2 days.
Right.
Yeah. Other than that, you know, they didn't say anything more, and so I think everyone's kind of like just coming to work. Like they're not as worried about it anymore.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
And you know, hospitals don't really care either way. Just coming to work. Yeah. So.
So with all of your downtime, have you been editing our newest video?
I have not.
Oh, okay, that's good. I thought about it the other day. I was like, oh, Dan's got all this time.
I've thought about it a little bit, but I haven't done much. I've been real lazy.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes you just got to take advantage of
This 10 days or whatever. It's going to be the big break before baseball comes back, and we'll get back into it. I thought about it, but then I was like, oh, we still got like 3-4 who knows how many days left to shoot. Like, I'll just.
Yeah.
And plus, like, weeks. I don't know. When's it due again?
April something, 20th.
Okay. Yeah. So I think maybe that was just my thing.
Right.
But I could have done it. And we did a little bit of a secret mystery unboxing thing.
Yeah. Well, that's what I meant. Like,
That. And then that I also was like, oh, I need to get that thing from Dustin.
Mm hmm.
And I think I was going to do it once I got the GoPro footage from you.
Oh, right.
But then we kept going like, hey, let's shoot this time. And me going, testing that morning, going, well.
Nope, can't do that. Still pausing, so. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And then, it's just, I think it's going around. My in-laws got it, too.
Oh, man.
But they.
Aren't they like in St. Thomas or something?
They went on a cruise.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm sure that was a lot of germs going around and stuff, but
yeah,
I don't know. So hopefully tomorrow I'm going to take a test and be over. I got stuff to do.
Yeah. I'm not sick, but my right hand has been sore for days from forging for multiple hours. Like, man, that's rough. Like, I haven't had that type. I think it's from the first day. Like, I must have not. I don't know if I can't remember if I talked about this, but I must not have been holding the hammer right, because like my middle finger, the bones, like the knuckle all the way up near my fist and inside there, that's where it's the most sore, my knuckles. So like something about that. I don't know how I was holding it, but then I forged, you know, again on Saturday for a couple hours, and worked on the spike for the Gunstock War Club, and but I felt like fine that whole time. Like, I don't think I heard it anymore on that day. You know, I think maybe I prolonged the soreness from the original day, but
yeah.
But it was fun to get out, you know, and forge a bunch. I really enjoy working in the shop and working in the smithy. And again, it just reiterates the fact that I really like having that forge that's not super efficient is really annoying.
Yeah, we gotta set up the new one.
Yeah.
Hey, have you seen the movie The Banshees of Inisherin?
No.
Do you know what it is?
I don't think so.
You would know.
Yeah, I think maybe it's talked new. About it. Inisherin, yeah, I think you maybe mentioned it to me.
Colin Farrell, Brendan Gleeson.
Mm.
I'm sure you haven't. You'd know.
Yeah.
It's new. Actually won some stuff, some Oscars and stuff.
Right.
Which I said I wouldn't watch them, but I still watched them. It was annoying. Oscars annoy me.
Oh, so you bad are. Now. When were the Oscars?
Sunday.
Last Sunday.
Yeah. It didn't help. I only had seen like two of the movies, so I didn't even have like a rooting interest.
Yeah. That's
but, oh yeah, and then during the Oscars, they had commercials for movies. Like, the two people from the new Little Mermaid movie came up on stage.
Right.
And they're like, now we're going to show you a new trailer from blah, blah, blah. Like,
oh, weird.
What? You don't get to, like, you don't get to sell your movie trailers during the Oscars? Like, isn't that a little...
Apparently they do.
I mean, right. it was ABC and they're owned by Disney.
Right.
So, maybe that's it. But I was like, oh, this sucks so bad. So stupid. Trash.
Can't take this industry anymore.
But it was not too preachy this year, which was good. People got in and did their speeches. But what annoys me, I get annoyed on both sides. When people make too long of a speech, and then on the other side when they cut them off with music.
Right.
Like, I feel bad for them. I'm like, oh, damn. It's like the moment of their life. And then they get played off with music. Or, like, the first one goes long, the first person.
Right, exactly.
And then the second person goes up to get their Oscar for whatever costume design. And they've never had this moment in their life, and they never will again. You know? And then they start to talk, and the mic cuts, and the music plays, and they just kind of shrug and walk off.
Yeah. It's
like, you go to this amazing moment to embarrassment.
I'd like to thank my...
Just... And they have to, like... they get shooed off the stage. Like, all right. Ugh. Make room for real stars. Like, trash.
That's so annoying. Ugh, yeah, I mean, like, why... Like, does it really have to be, you know, like... So...
Does it really matter? Yeah, the broadcast is long as shit anyway.
Yeah, right.
Who cares? It's like 4 hours.
Yeah.
But
you know, what's an extra like, you know, minute or so? I don't know.
I will say, you know, they tell them you have 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Or you have 45 seconds or you have 1 minute.
All right.
Do not go over that or we'll, like, the second you step up.
We'll play you right off.
The second you step up and say anything. Oh, man. Oh, boy, this is great. Like, boom. All right. You're the clock starting.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they know. That's
whatever you have prepared, do not ramble. So that annoys me too. I'm like, hey, you know how much time you have. Do a short and sweet thing. Thank you so much. Thank you, these people. This is great. I love you guys. I'm so glad we got to do this film. That's it.
Yeah.
And then shame on you if the second person with you gets cut off because you decided to ramble and take 2 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, you feel bad for that second person, but, like, they're probably more pissed at the first person.
Right.
You
know? Like, dude, we both walked up, you jumped on the mic, and you start, you know you had, they were going to give you 45 seconds, and you went a minute and a half, and they left me with no time. I'd be pissed.
Yeah. Well, I will, I'll keep that in mind for
when we accept a
YouTube Emmy. I wonder, like, you know, obviously Oscars are movies. So, like, something like Game of Thrones, you know, like that. Like, that's such an epic series. Do they?
Yeah.
That's still Emmy, right? Because that's TV or whatever. How was
I
that?
I mean, Emmys have things for. Emmys are TV. Mm-hmm. Oscars also have a lot of. The Academy Awards have a lot of different prizes for a lot of different things.
Right.
But Emmys is more TV. So, I mean, it's different.
Yeah.
Also, the amount of foreign films that have invaded the Oscars. Now, I have no problem with foreign films.
Right.
But each country has their own award ceremonies. And they're all acting like we're the only. Like, the Oscars is not. Like, the British have the BAFTAs. And every other, whatever, Italy and I'm sure they all have their own thing.
Yeah.
So why do they all have to come here? And, like, we're not necessarily celebrating worldwide cinema. We're celebrating cinema in the U.S.
Yeah.
And English-speaking cinema. We're not. I mean, we have a category for best foreign film.
Right.
So there's a category saying, okay, you know, we'll kind of. I understand wanting to include everyone, but it's not. You don't have to.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
If you're an award show for this type of thing, for this, like, celebrating Hollywood movies.
Right.
Like, why do we have an Italian film and an Indian film and this and that and a French film? Like, no, get your own awards. Like, you don't get our Oscars.
That's because the Oscars are the best. They want to go to the air, right?
Like, so have your own. Stop, like, invading ours, taking our awards. That's what I think.
And that's what I think.
And that's my point of view. But, and I think someone also made that same point for Everything Everywhere All at Once. It's like, but that's an American film. Like, the writers are American. Some of the people are of Asian descent and, like, are half, you know, half Chinese, half, I don't even know if they are.
Right.
Well, anyway, but that's still an American film. Like, I have no problem with that. That it's mainly an Asian cast. I don't care about that at all, but it's a movie produced where the award show is based out of. That's what it should be.
You're right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I think that's, but I guess the Oscars aren't. Yeah. I mean, they're like Hollywood, but they're not exclusive. You know, it's not like the American Oscars.
Well, I feel like. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think what they did do was they broadened who's in the Academy.
Right.
But they also broadened it internationally too. So you have a lot more voters from all over the world. You know, I don't know if that's, I mean, it is, they can do whatever they want, but.
What is the Academy?
It's just, you get invited to it after a while. It's all types of writers, creators, actors.
Okay.
So they thank the Academy. You're just thanking a bunch of big name
of your
people.
Right.
And it's some, it's like of your peers, like a lot of people get to vote. Right. A lot of big name people and writers and directors and actors, they all are sent these movies.
Right.
And you can vote on them. Yeah. That's why people actually always thank the Academy, because it is actually like their peers and other people working in the in the same system they're working in.
Right, exactly. So that's the thing. It's like, you know, depends on who's in the Academy. You know, that's the people who are voting. So, you know, if you have representatives from different countries and whatever, they, you know, I guess it's up to the Academy who they vote for and who they give awards
to. Right, if the Academy wants to let people in from all over the world, then I guess then it is a worldwide award show.
Yeah. And that's what I was saying. It's like, it seems to me like it's because it's the Oscars. As an American and not someone who's like super into the business of film, the Oscars seem like the biggest award show in the world for film. Mm. You know, like you said, there's the BAFTAs and things like that. And I've heard of them, but like, maybe it's because I'm in America, but like, I've never watched that. You know what I mean? Like, so.
Well, I mean, the pop culture of the world is American.
Right.
So our movies are the world's movies.
Right.
Not as many come back the other way. There are a lot of great foreign films, and a lot of countries do their own style of film.
Yeah.
That may not work here in a broad audience thing. But, right. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's... I mean, but whatever. But, I mean, it's, you're throwing these, like... Maybe I just got to watch more foreign films, but... And I'm not yeah. I'm not necessarily against, like, subtitles and stuff. Right. But I do realize that when you're watching a movie with subtitles, you're not... You're reading the whole time.
Yeah.
I want to take it in. I want to watch the visuals. I want to watch the performances. So it's not just because I'm lazy and be like, oh, subtitles, oh, lame. Like, I don't mind reading. But
Whole point is the film is the visuals.
Right, it's a visual thing. I want to watch the visuals.
Every single scene has been composed. Right. Like, that's what you're seeing is what they want you to see for that reason. It's like looking at a painting. Like, I don't, you know, I like to read the information about the paintings, but I don't often do that in a museum while I'm walking through. I just look at the paintings, you know. And then I like, if there's something that's really interesting or something that is captivating, then I might read about it, be like, oh, that's kind of cool. Or I'll glance over to see who it's by, you know. But not often do I read the information about the paintings because I'm interested in the visuals. Right. You know, like, I don't want to be distracted by the words.
Right. But
it's also the reason why, like, when I sign my paintings and things, or if, like, if I don't have to sign it on the actual painting, I won't. I'll just write it on the back because I don't want it to take away from it, because I know it's going to take away from it. As soon as you put something on there that is not part of the scene, then your eye goes to that, you know? So I'll, like, if I'm signing a painting on the front, sometimes I'll do it small and I'll do it in a color that's really close in value to the area that I'm signing it on. You know, maybe it's like a dark red on top of a dark blue, right? So, like, yeah, it'll stand out enough so you can see it, but it's not going to, like, jump out at you. Yeah.
There was this, there's this painting that Mom had in their basement that now I have, you know, the one, of the guy with the glasses.
Yep.
Like, standing on a porch. I always loved it, and it's a real painting, which interests me. You know, not a lot of people have real paintings anymore. Like, oh,
right. Yeah.
Cool. Like, an original piece of artwork. I mean, other than, you know, you and our family because of you and other people, but.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Those are ones that I've made and ones I've collected from friends, but not like an old painting.
Like, yeah. Like an old, and I mean, I wish I would have dug for more, but all I know is our grandmother said it was like a cousin or something. And that's but that's kind of what she said, but I didn't know. And I like Google image searched and searched names of people.
Right.
Of what I thought the name on the painting was. And I like traced it back to some European painter, but he wasn't so far behind that it was like impossible.
Right.
Like, he painted in late 1800s, early 1900s, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was the same name. And when I looked at the style, it seemed similar. So I reached out to someone who was like, worked in that person's library or whatever you call it, worked for, they knew about this painter.
Right.
And I got kind of like a snotty like response, like, of course, that's not a blah, blah, blah. This is not the late blah, blah, blah painter from blah, blah, blah. You know, I was like, all right, dang, I'm sorry.
Dang.
And I sent like four or five pictures. Like, hey, I don't know what this painting is, but it's got the same name and it kind of looks like the same style. Do you think it could be this painter? And they were like, no, this is not that painter. This blah, 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 blah. I was like, all right, fine. I'm sorry to insult you.
They're like, obviously, this isn't that painter. Right. Can't you see the brush strokes aren't anything similar to the color?
They would not use that. You know, the color wasn't even that. That shade of brown wasn't even in Italy at the time. Like, all right, sorry.
That's funny though, because people are like, oh yeah, they all look the same to me, you know, like, so when someone's educated in something, you understand all the, like, the fine differences and things, and if you don't, you don't. But that being said, if someone's reaching out and being like, hey, I'm really interested in this painting I have, is it possibly this person, And you could be like, no, it's not. Thanks. These are the reasons why I think it's not, you know, but thanks for reaching out.
Right.
You know, you could do it in a much more positive way. Like, yeah. Or just be like, hey, you know, I see what you think is possible, you know, similarities, but these things are telling me, like, my evidence is this and this and this, you know?
Right. Right. Like, yeah. Right. You could have done it, but they weren't interested in that.
Like, no.
So I don't know who did it. It was probably, you know, it was probably just a family member.
Right.
Of a family member, or maybe a local guy. Like, and I just, you know, we don't, it's like Capone or something, Capone or something.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And it's got a, like a year on it too, but I can't really put it together. Maybe it's like an 06 or something. Like
you need like Antiques Roadshow to come to Maryland.
Yeah.
They have the Chesapeake.
They do have the Chesapeake Roadshow thing.
They do. That's what you should do. You should take it.
Yeah. And they're like, of course, that's not the Italian Capone, blah, blah, blah. Mm. Like, your example is trash.
Be like, what's your name? You're the same person.
I already talked to you.
Yeah, right, exactly. You're that guy, aren't you? You're that amateur hour.
Yeah, oh, of course it's not.
Speaking of names and things and like I would say, I try not to put like super obviously my name on paintings and things because I think it takes away. I just finished the axe mask, and it's three parts. It has like an individual mask that covers both bits, so both blades, and then it has a snap strap across the back that holds the two together. Or you could take them apart and use them for two different axes. Like, it's axe blades aren't that big of a difference in shape, so that's kind of the reason why I do it that way, where I make two of them that are held together by a snap. So if for some reason the person who I'm sending it to wants to use one of those masks for another axe they have that kind of generally fits, they could put it on to protect it. But I did, when I forget if I mentioned this in the podcast at some point, but I 3D printed the Art of Craftsmanship logo. Mm-hmm. And I did it, you know, kind of small. It's about maybe an inch in width left to right. And, you know, that's only like a third of an inch or so tall. And I 3D printed it on a block that's maybe an inch and a half tall that supports behind it. So I made like a stamp and I stamped it on that, but it's on it three times. It's like on the front of both sides, both flaps, and it's on the back in the middle on the snap. So it like looks like overkill. I was like, man, that's a lot of AOC stamps on it. But I stamped all three pieces, like the three pieces that come apart, right? So it's like, when I was looking at the pictures, I was like, man, that's a lot of
I did see stamping on that. Actually, I did notice. I was like, there's two stamps like right there. But then right away I thought, well, it's multiple pieces.
Right.
Maybe the fix is to stamp it on one, on the best corner that you think it would look like hanging.
Right.
And then on the inside have burnt, you know, a brand or an ink stamp that goes
right on the on other the, one
on the other ones right, on the yeah. inside, just so,
or you, even just that stamp on the inside.
You know, true. I can do the same thing. Yeah. So you know they come together; they're a piece.
Right.
Yeah. People won't lose them, but you know you have the one stamp to see when it's there, and then the rest can be tucked away.
I didn't even think about it until I like took the pictures and posted on Instagram. I was like, oh man, looks a little pretentious. A lot of stamps on that thing, but. That was my mind. It was like, I just want to, because if it's going to come apart and go into different axes, then, you know, I want to make sure you have a stamp.
Gucci did up.
That's right. And make sure it's completely covered. I durested it up.
That's right. You could have spray painted it right across
Gucci
the front.
And duresta, same thing.
Same thing.
Same idea.
Same style.
But yeah, so the guy who won the axe from the giant raffle waffle that was put on for Maximus Knives, the guy who won it, I had finished the axe before the drawing, but I hadn't finished the mask. Like I'd come up with the pattern of it and stuff, but I hadn't actually finished it. And then we'd just been busy doing a bunch of other stuff. And so I reached out to him, let him know, like, as soon as he won it, you know, I reached out to him and said, like, you know, I have it ready. I have the axe ready. I just haven't finished the mask. Give me like a week or so and I'll finish it and then I'll send it out to you. So so it took a little bit longer than
did he complain,
but,
you know, like, oh, come on.
No, he did send me a message the other day just saying that, like, he was he would be out of town and his dad was kind of going, picking up mail. So he wanted to make sure that like, if it was sent, he wanted to know. Yeah, exactly. It was like, no rush. I just want to make sure that if it's being sent, I know that way I can make sure my dad knows to get it. So it's not just sitting on the porch.
No, that's fair.
Yeah. But I did. Yeah. I got his information and sent it to him and sent him the tracking number. And I'm really happy with it. It turned out really good. And like one of the things with leather that I found over the years is that, there is a level of perfection in leather that I expect. And then I rarely ever live up to that level of perfection when it's finished. You know, it's like, there's always something that didn't turn out exactly right, you know, or like it wasn't burnished the right way. Or I got some burns on the leather when I was sanding it or, you know, like this time around I was setting the rivets and the rivet tool, the tool that has the hole in it that you like hammer down in so the rivet slides down the little washer. The outside of that tool marked the leather around the rivet. You know, something's like that happened and like, so there's always something. It's like every time I do something in leather, it always makes me want to get the better tools to do it. You know, it's always like, I had the better tools and I wouldn't make these mistakes wouldn't happen because they're not mistakes. They're just the result of a shitty tool. You know, that's like, yeah, it's one of those things that is like I guess that's the eternal plague of a craftsman, that you're always thinking, okay, if I had this better tool, then it would allow me to do this thing that I know how to do without the mistakes that come along with a cracking
tool.
Yeah.
But then, you know, yeah, it gets so clean though, then it doesn't look handmade. Then it's
right. Yeah. And know. I agree. And like, and actually one of the things that, you know, I did throughout the process, like, yeah, there's times where like I would be hammering, you know, or setting a rivet or something and I wouldn't have like protected the back well enough. So then it like, it leaves us like a bruise, you know? So when you like push on the back of leather, mm-hmm. especially when it's oiled and stuff, then you'll see, or like if you push on one side, you'll see that mark come through on the other side. Right. So like if I don't have it cushioned enough with another piece of leather, whatever, then sometimes it leaves bruises and you think that they're going to go away, but then they don't go away. And so I've gotten good over the years of covering up those mistakes with different dyeing patterns or, you know, like the nice thing too is at the end, you know, add in oil and then add in some carnauba wax and buff it all up and it's shiny. And then, you know, like, so just kind of different techniques to get past some of those things and have them built into the look of a finished leather piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But also like, you know, it's a very obvious to me that the leather that I'm using is not high quality leather. Like it's perfectly fine, but it's not like presentation grade. You know what I mean? So quote unquote, like I'm not making a Cartier bag that needs to be like perfect when it comes off the line. You know, I'm making axe masks and knife sheaths. Like they're going to, as soon as you give them to the person, they use them one time, it's going to get scuffed and it's going to mark and it's going to get life to it, you know? So like, I don't really mind, but it's a little frustrating when I try to, you know, do something and the materials and the tools are inherently making the product at the end not as clean as I think it could look. But even still, like I was still happy with the way it turned out, you know, to the point where when I finish it, you know, I bring it upstairs and I sit with it on the couch for the night, you know, and live with it and look at it like, oh, it's turned out so nice. Yeah. And look back at pictures of like earlier on the process when I was like, oh, it looks so dry there. And then at the end, it's all clean and buffed and shiny and, you know, turned out
it's
nice.
It's good enough for free.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in that that giveaway stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of people stepped up and gave away some really cool stuff, so.
I know. I was bitter. I didn't win anything.
And hey, like, neither did I.
I know, yeah. Oh, well. That's the
speaking of giving away stuff and ungrateful people, when we hit 100,000, we gave away a bunch of stuff on a live stream.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the things you gave away was like you had bits and pieces of a knife that you hadn't put together.
Right.
But you had like the kit almost.
Yeah, it was the, the journey knife, the first one, because I made one. And in the video, like, I ground, when I was grinding the bevels, I took it too far. So I had to, like, the shape of the blade and the length of it shortened a little bit. Smaller than I wanted for that initial prototype to be finished. You know, I wanted it to be the way I had to my design. It was still a perfectly good knife. It just had to be altered a little bit, so it just wasn't as long and not as wide.
Yeah, you know, so, like, but it was like a knife kit of things. And this person, yeah. For one, we told, we're going to try to give stuff away.
Right.
Hopefully most are in the States and whatever, but we'll try to send this stuff wherever it is. But, you know, you send knives and weird stuff like that overseas or cross borders, you know,
right.
then they have the chance of getting stopped or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. And sure enough, we're like, all right, we told my friend Guy, told him, like, hey, pick names that just sound, don't some crazy, like,
yeah, because he was just doing, like, a scroll and stop and, like, right. Point at one. You know, choose one on the screen, right? Yeah.
So it was random, but I'm like, hey, when you stop, if it stops on some weird name that probably isn't English, you know, then maybe don't do it. And sure enough, he stopped on, like, a crazy name. And it was someone down, like, South America somewhere.
Oh, right, yeah.
And anyway, he picked that person. And then we're like, all right, yeah, we're going to send it. And they're like, we're kind of, like, pushy about it. And finally we sent it, I don't know, after a month or something. Because mm-hmm. We had a bunch of stuff to package up and send.
Right, yeah.
And then we had, like, tracked it, and then it kind of just disappeared. And then we don't know where it was. And the person right. kept on every video at, like, the top, like, hey, you said you were going to send me something. Why aren't you right. sending it? Like, I've still been waiting. You blah, blah, blah. And they got more and more aggressive, and they kept commenting on our videos. Hey, asshole, we sent you a free, like, we're not lying, we tried to send it, I don't know where it is,
right? Yeah, exactly.
But it's a random thing with knife components, so they may have, like, snagged it up, but, like, it's been sent for months.
Yeah,
stop right. bugging us, stop posting, like, we're not, like, your local, like, restaurant, and you're not Zillow. You're not going to complain about the bad service you have. You're getting something for free. Like,
right, exactly.
That's not our business.
You're watching our channel for free, and then you're getting something for free.
We're not a knife
company.
That's a
one-off. Yeah,
we're not a knife company. We're not. Yeah. You just jumped in a live stream with two people or a group of people you liked, and then they said, hey, we'll send you guys out some free stuff that we have around, thanking you for watching. And then we tried to send it, and then you just kept complaining. Like, what is that? And, like, publicly complaining, like, what do you think you're gonna, like, it's not, like I said, it's not Zillow.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, of course. One star. Don't recommend watch their channel, because if you happen to win something, if you happen to win something for free, it might not make it over a country line. Like,
right, exactly. Yeah, you just. That's what it is, you know, like, you reach out to the person and be like, hey, it never showed up, and they're like, oh, I'm so sorry, I sent it, and you're like, okay, all right, like, thanks.
Hopefully
it shows up. If it does, yeah. I'll message you back and let you know that it showed
and
up.
And if
you know?
If they were cool about it, we'd probably sent them something else, yeah. or at least interacted with them, but yeah, when right. you act like a jerk, then that's, like, one of the only people I've ever blocked. There's been, like, two or three people that are just so nasty that eventually yeah. blocked. But that was definitely one. I was like, all right, well, fine. Like, we told you over and over again, and then he just kept with it. So I'm like, all right, fine, you're blocked.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. There's your answer. You want to be a right. dick?
We'll yeah. never talk to you again.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Jeez. People.
People.
All right. So I have some... Irish slang, Irish slangs here, ooh. And I'm going to have you guess what they mean.
Okay.
So this is different slang terminology where, you know, if you were to go to Ireland, you might hear some people saying these things. If you weren't familiar with the language or the slang, then you might not know what they're talking about. But here we go. Okay. So the first one is acting the maggot. And the example would be someone say, stop acting the maggot.
Well, I'm guessing it's
what do you
negative.
Think
so you're acting.
Okay.
Maybe a jerk. You're acting okay. like a jerk.
So, all right. like a jerk. So the meaning is an Irish term for fooling and messing around.
Oh, acting like a goofball.
So not quite. Yeah, exactly. Stop acting the maggot. Yeah.
Right, okay.
Stop messing around. Okay.
All right.
All right. So here's another one. A bad dose. The example would be, you got a bad dose of it, didn't you?
A bad go, like bad luck.
It's a severe illness. Got a bad dose of it. Okay. And that makes sense. Like, oh, I have a bad, you know, a bad dose of the cold or whatever, you know, like, that kind of makes sense. All right. Let's see. Okay. How about bang on? You are bang on.
You're dead on. That's it. Right.
Yes, that's it. Meaning right or accurate or correct. You're bang on, mate.
That's almost, I mean, I feel like.
I mean, some of them are that like around completely. Here, too. Yeah, right.
Maybe you've heard some it from English are. People. Oh, that's like right. Bang, that is bang on.
Yeah.
Dead on is what we would say. Or.
All right, here we go. Banjangst.
Whoa.
And the example is, the chair is banjangst.
Banjangst.
That chair is banjangst. The chair is banjangst. Banjaxed. Banjaxed.
Banjaxed. It's broken.
It's broken. Right on. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
Oh, chair is banjaxed.
Okay, I'll send you. Let me send you a picture, and then I'll post it after this, actually, because I wanted to share it, and I never did. I'm going to send you something real quick.
Okay. While you're sending it, here's another one. Black stuff. And so the example is, a pint of the black stuff, please.
Guinness?
It is Guinness. That's right.
Yeah.
The black stuff. That's great. I like that. How about... Oh, wait. Okay, here we go. Pictures come through. Got a photograph. Wow. That that chair is... Banjaxed. is that your daughter next to it?
Yeah.
Sweet tennis shoes. Dang.
She's got
some sweet kicks, white bottoms with like hot pink and blue and black. Nice.
She fly. And that's exactly how it landed. So the picture I sent to Dust was of a broken, shattered wooden rocking chair. Now, this is an old wooden rocking chair that my parents were going to throw out, like, years ago. Mm-hmm. And, like, when they were moving out, they're like, oh, that's trash. I was like, well, I'm going to take that, and I'll just put it on the edge of my yard, which backs up to a nice field with a nice view. And we had talked, did we talk? Yeah, we talked about me wanting to buy a new chair.
Yeah, Adirondacks.
Yeah, right. So I was like, oh, this is perfect. And sure enough, I dragged that old chair, and it was like in two pieces already. Like when you sat on it, you could feel it like splitting.
Yeah, right.
Like all the pieces of wood that were together were like already apart.
Right.
And I sat in it one last time. It collapsed, right? Like right when you see it. It just went straight down like a building kind of falling. Like,
that's goom, how goom, goom, goom. That's what, dang. So like you just clapped it and got up, and that's what was left.
Yeah,
dang! Yeah. It looks like you picked it up and smashed it on the ground like four times.
That, it broke apart like a comedy, like a fake chair. And it just slowly shattered under me. Like each thing gave way.
You're like trying to like stop from falling and rolling as you go.
But it was basically I was going straight down, so I couldn't do much. Just kind of hands outstretched, you know, like whoa, 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 and just
that's great.
That's. I'll post that too.
That chair is definitely banjaxed.
Very much so. But it was like years past its prime, obviously. And it's been sitting outside in a field for another couple years, I feel like. So that was its final. I was actually, this kind of sucked because it was like 60 degrees out today. And we had been doing stuff in the yard. And I was like, well, let's just sit out in the field for a while. Because Maeve will kind of wander, but, you know, you can see her. She can't go that far.
Right.
I mean, she could go, she'd have to walk a mile to, like, get out of view, you know? So it's like, I'll just call her back eventually.
Yeah, I'd be like, come on.
Yeah, and if she's so far away, like, then I'll get up. If she can't hear me, I mean, I wouldn't let her get that far away, but she can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
She could run as fast as she wanted, and I'd still catch her in a minute or two, like, you know, like before she hit anything.
Yeah. All right. I got a couple more for you. Okay. So this one is, bucketing down. And the example is, it is bucketing down.
Oh, raining.
Raining hard.
That's not really good context, though.
I know. Yeah, I know. I'm trying to read the examples.
Bucketing down.
Not to give it away.
It is bucketing down.
It is. It is bucketing down. I'm going to try to give you, like, you know, some like verbal clues to what it is.
It's really bucketing down out there.
Yeah. All right. This is another one. Bunk off. Do you want to bunk off tomorrow?
Hey. You want to take off? Skip? Hooky?
Skip. Meaning to skip. Yep. School or work. Bunk off.
Yeah.
All right. A chancer. The example is, he is a real chancer.
That's, again, not a great context. He's a real
chancer.
Lucky guy.
He is a real, it is a lighthearted insult, Irish insult for someone who takes a risk. He's taking a chance. He's a real chancer.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
He just tried to jump that gap between those two, you know, docks and landed in the water. He's a real chancer.
He's a chancer.
It's a lighthearted insult.
Okay.
For someone who takes a risk. What would that be in, like, you know, what's the comparable thing in the States? Be like, I guess, in like, he's a risk taker. Unnecessary risk. Yeah, like that's, yeah. How do you?
Yeah, I don't know if translation is tough.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, here's one that you may know, but I'll tell you that it's not what you think it is. All right. A chiseler. He was a chiseler at the time.
Cheap, maybe? Or a cheap person, or a... I don't know.
It is a young child, and it's Dublin slang, a chiseler. Isn't it? Wasn't it chiselers and gangs in New York?
I forget.
Yeah, it's like he's a chiseler. He's like, well, if I knew what the hell that meant, I might take offense.
Oh, yeah.
Was that he's like a chiseler. Insult? Yeah, he's like someone who steals anything, you know, dead or alive.
Yeah.
They're like staring at each other and they take off their jackets real quick and get ready to fight. Oh, yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Well, no, he's something. Oh, yeah, I can't remember. Shoot, I can't remember. Captivating podcasting
Brendan Gleeson movie. He's in that.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, it's awesome. Yeah. Monk.
The Banshees of Inisherin, before you finish, is
really
good, really beautiful. Early 1915, and this beautiful landscape. They're in this island, this fictitious island, but it's real. They shoot in islands outside of Ireland, you know, that you can see, not that far, you know, you can still see them from the coast, and these little secluded islands, and then it's about one guy saying, like, I don't want to be friends with you anymore. And then Colin Farrell not knowing why. Just continuing to bug him. Like, why? What do you mean? Like, and it's this tiny little island. Everyone knows each other. They go to the same one pub, you know, every night.
Right.
And it's, I guess it's a dark comedy. It's not that funny. Mm-hmm. And it gets pretty dark. But I liked it when I saw it. Then I didn't like it. And then I like it again. Like, what I watched someone analyze it a little bit,
right?
And it gave me a little bit more appreciation for what was going on.
Man, what was
but
that?
A I lot of times, I don't like dark comedies that much, because then sometimes it gets really dark. I'm like, well, now it's not a comedy at all. This is just sad. This is depressing. Like, you know, it gets to a point where it's like you can't call yourself a comedy anymore.
Yeah, right.
It almost gets to that point towards the end of the movie. But the performances from everyone, and I like everyone in it so much that it's a treat to see those actors in that landscape doing those things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. You can appreciate it as like a filmmaker, you know, and like someone who appreciates good acting. You know, but as like the story, you're expecting it to do a certain thing. You might be disappointed in like the thing. It's not. Yeah, like it's not doing what you want it to do the way you think it should.
Yeah, it's like it's a little dark and a little sad, and then
You're like, I feel like.
It's kind of a bummer, but everyone is so good in it. You should definitely check it out.
I was trying to remember. You said that you were like, I liked it, and then I didn't like it, and now I like it again. There was something like almost a direct quote of that recently in my life, and it took me a minute to figure it out. But over the weekend we were playing a game with our friends, and the game is called Wingspan, and so it's a board game. You have these like different birds, and the birds can lay different types of eggs, and then you can also, you know, you build flocks, and there are all these rules, and the setup is super complicated. And we like tried to set it up for probably a half an hour, like reading the rules, and we went through like a couple turns, and we still didn't really understand what the point was or what we were doing. And like, so it was like, me and Nicole and Kate and Sean and Corinne, and just like trying to figure this out. And we almost gave up. And then we were like, all right, well, I think Nicole pulled up a video on YouTube of someone explaining it, and they like explained it in a way that all made sense. But in his explanation, he was like, I really liked this game. The first like two times I played it, I really liked it. And then I played it like three more times, and then I really didn't like it anymore. And then now I really like it again. Like now, ever since I played it again, I really like it again. I was like, oh, that's so funny. Like exactly what you said.
Yeah.
But it was definitely, it was hard to get into and hard to get like understanding what's, but the benefit, the one nice thing about the game is that not the one nice thing, it's a fun game. It was cool and I enjoyed it, but it's each player is playing to get as many points as they can, on their own. And you're not really fighting against anyone else for points. The points like aren't up for grabs. You're like getting your own points. You're just trying to acquire as many points as you can. And then by the end of the game, whoever has the most points wins. And because of that, when it's not your turn, you don't really have to pay attention. Yeah. And I like games like that for party games, you know? So like when it's not your turn, you're just chatting with somebody, you're drinking, you're eating snacks, you know, like, and the next person taking their turn, and you just kind of go around and go around. That's why I like things like Mexican Train Dominoes or, you know, other games where you're just kind of like, it doesn't take a ton of extra concentration. Now, this took a good amount of concentration to figure out. But once you figured it out, then it wasn't super like, it's not like you had to like really get, it wasn't a strategy game, you know, where you're like really trying to pay attention. Like it was a part.
Yeah.
It ended up being like, it worked as a party game.
Which was kind of fun. We, doing gambling nights and poker nights and stuff, that's one reason why, or at least I was like, hey, look, I don't just want to play poker.
Right.
Because it takes any like joy out of the room. It is a like focused game, right? Like quiet and serious and kind of, I mean, you have fun and you know, but you get into it and you're really trying hard,
right,
to be like focused and quiet and like tricking people and figuring out people and doing like, and then people lose all their money quick sometimes, you know, and then they're out of the games for like the rest of the night.
Right.
So that's why we started going like, all right, look, if we're going to do poker, fine, but we're going to do like a couple hands or one hand. And there's like a $5 pot limit.
Yeah.
Right, you know, you can take someone to that and that's your all in. That's going to be the end of it. Like,
yeah.
I don't want someone to go 20, 30 bucks all in.
And then, be done.
And they're done.
Sitting like, on the side, like, not playing the game with the rest of
us. Like, I just want to keep, I want to play a lot of games.
Yeah.
That's
like our epic, famous game of cornhole, but not cornhole, beer hole.
Beer hole, that's right.
we invented during Punkin' Chunkin' in 2010, possibly. I think that's what the koozies like were, 2010.
Wow.
Where you set up two, it's kind of set up like horseshoes, where you have two ends of a single like lane, and we were out in the middle of a cornfield because that's where the Punkin' Chunkin' was held in Delaware, and people
the
might
park,
remember.
Right.
Yeah, the party part. Yeah, the kind of tailgating the
parking
part
lot. Was, yeah.
Yeah. And so we were like, with our feet, you kind of scrape up a bunch of the corn husks and random, you know, debris that's on the ground, and you make these two circles. You know, so you're making just like a little mound of dirt, like a little fortress.
Yeah.
You know, a circle that was like, what, three feet apart-ish or so, you know,
yeah,
3 foot diameter
circle. It's a single target.
Yep.
A single circle.
Yeah, and then the middle of the circle, it has a smaller circle, right? Yep. So it's like a target, right? One big ring, one small ring. And we filled the empty beer cans also with that duff, with that like just
dirt and
random debris. Yeah, just so you have some weight to it, but it's not super heavy. And then you had a couple, each team had a couple, and you're throwing back and forth.
Yeah.
But one of the key elements and the key rules to this game is that there weren't two teams that were on either side of, let's call it the pitch, right? It was everyone who was playing and or watching had to walk back and forth both ends every time, because you wanted everyone to be hanging out together and talking. Mm-hmm. And like, so it was like, if you want to watch or you want to play, you have to walk with us back and forth every time. So like, you'd walk to one end, you throw a couple beer cans down. You know, if you get it in the hole, everyone yells beer hole.
Beer hole.
Yeah. And then everyone walks together down to the other end, you know, the 30 feet or whatever. And then you pick up the cans and you throw them back.
Oh man, that was fun.
We're a people person family.
But I mean, yeah, we're like, well, you look around and then people do have things like cornhole and footballs and stuff. I just don't think we had anything. Well, all we did, we were a bunch of young people who just brought beer to the, you know. And so we're like, let's make a game. And it was great. We played that for a couple of years, like a few times we went.
Yeah, yeah, it's great.
Beer hole. Man, maybe you've got a place in beer hole up here at my place in the cornfield next to us.
Oh, yeah,
nice. Set up a little beer hole spot.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, that was key element to that game, is that everyone had to walk together, you know.
Because I will say that was the thing in it depends. But, you know, sometimes in cornhole or horseshoes. Yeah, you know, you do get split up. Or if you pick a partner, like, hey, you and I play together, and then sometimes in whatever drunken you forget that you're separated. You know, all right, fine, go to the other. Like, so many times I remember doing that in like college days, forgetting like, hey, I want to play this game with this chick.
Yeah,
like, hey, you want to be my partner? We're gonna play beer pong or whatever. Like, okay, yeah. Cool. Like, other side, talk to my buddy. Like, oh. How do I forget this every time?
Yeah, right, exactly. We're playing on teams, but either person has a team mate on the other side of the
right. So my buddy over there is going to chat you up the whole time. Like, that is the opposite of what I wanted this to be.
Be like, hey, you want to come play a game with me, but not be on my team?
And maybe be attracted to my friend at the end of it. How about that?
Damn it. Everyone just goes back and forth. All the chicks, all the dudes hanging out together.
Yeah, but...
Good, all right, I have a couple more. This one's a fun one, and the one right after it's a fun one too. No, they're all fun, but okay. And all of our Irish listeners, they will have fun guessing these before Devin can guess them. All right, so this one is I'm gonna say a colchi. Colchi, C-U-L-C-H-I-E, a colchi. And the example is, she is a colchi originally. She's a colchi originally.
Redhead?
She is an Irish person from rural agricultural area. She's a country folk.
A country gal.
She's a hick. She's a colchi. Okay. She's a colchi originally. And then the one right after it, this is another good one. She's a he is a real cute whore.
A cute whore. What's a cute whore?
Cute whore. Whore. H-O-O-R.
A cute whore.
A cute whore. She's a cute, a cold chin, a cute whore all in one.
I do like cute whores.
He's a real cute whore. That's the example.
He's like a smart ass.
He is someone who quietly engineers things to their own advantage. Mm. That's so crazy.
Like a snake.
Yeah, right. Quite a snake in the grass. A cute whore. Let's see. Donkey's years. Example. They have lived their donkey years. Donkey's years.
Young years. Stupid years.
They've lived for a very, very long time.
Oh.
They have lived their donkey's years.
Donkey.
There we go. And how about a dosser? There are a couple of dorsers.
A couple of wee dorsers. Jerks. A dorser. Goofball.
Someone not working or is messing about, up to no good.
And then scoundrel.
Here's I'll do two more. This one is eat the head off. Don't eat the head off me.
Don't yell at me. Don't give me a hard time.
The meaning says to give out to someone.
Give out.
I don't even know what that means. I don't understand the meaning.
We need a translation for the meaning.
To give out to someone. Don't eat the head off. Don't eat the head off of me. To give out to someone. Is that like, I don't know. Okay, never mind. And then, sorry, failure of my own. All right, this is one that actually says, in the definition, it says, where'd it go? This is one of the most well-known Irish phrases. Let's see if you understand this. The craic. C-R-A-I-C. Craic.
That was in my song, The Craic.
The Craic. Oh, yeah, right.
That line, I forget what it was.
I know you said it. You were like, and they then start the crack or something. I didn't know what that was. What's or where's the crack?
The party.
The party. No, it's not.
The drinking.
Nope. Think about the context of the podcasting Irishman. The crack.
The music.
It's the fun or the gossip or the goings on.
So the party. That's going to be
one of the most well-known. It's the gossip. It's the goings on. It's like the information about what's happening. It's
the gossip. So the bridge in the song that was written by the computer said, so let the music play. Let the crack begin.
Right.
And raise a pint of Guinness to our kin. Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, let the crack begin. I just in my head saw the word C-R-A-C-K. Crack.
When I read C-R-A-I-C, I recognized it was Irish slang. And right. I kind of had an idea it was like a joyous thing or a party or something.
Right, yeah.
Or like it was that type of, like a social thing.
Yeah, it says fun or gossip or goings on, right? Okay. It's the crack.
So that is something you let the music start, let the talking,
let the party begin, if you imagine it that way. The party can be like, it's a party we're gonna have in like an actual party with people, or it's a party life, or it's the, all right, the party's going on,
okay,
so cool. There you go. Yeah, and there are a lot more here, but those are some fun ones.
The crack.
So we'll have to bring some of these out next week when we have our brothers on.
Yeah,
for the annual Brothers podcast and Patrick's Day.
We'll do a little bit more. I don't know if we'll be able to get together or not, but we might do a satellite version and
we'll see.
All be home. But we'll all have drinks and chat and talk, and it'll be fun.
Well, Derek said he'll be up this way, so maybe he'll be here with me. Maybe the three of us will be here with you, and you'll be home with COVID.
I might have to. Jeez,
I can't imagine that you'd like still be contagious after this long.
They say you dump like whatever carrier load, whatever they call it, like the first five days.
You dump your carrier load after 5 days. Oh, jeez.
Dump it off, baby. Show.
Right. So yeah, whatever, gotta be past. I mean, you and I were together for what, an hour indoors and a couple hours outdoors, and I didn't get anything, so.
Yeah.
We weren't yelling at each other, though, across the workbench.
Ah! Right, laughing and talking at each other.
I'll say. All right, well, we'll try to make it work. Even still, even if we're not together, we will be on the podcast together.
Yeah.
Which will be fun.
So, everyone, hope you have a good St. Patty's Day. It's a Friday. Yes, that's cool. So, get together with some people and have a nice talk and talk about the shoot the crack.
Yeah, exactly. What's the crack on St. Patty's Day? So I'm assuming you don't have any plans other than hanging out with your wife,
No, and she's working, so I mean,
dang.
I don't know. Maybe I'll.
It's a sad time.
I'm going to take a test tomorrow morning, and maybe if I'm not anything, I'll get. I don't know. Maybe I'll get Guy to come over and sit with me on the field and drink a beer.
Not a bad way to go, though.
Right.
We've had some good St. Patrick's Day. Sometimes you just need to chill and hang out with a buddy and drink some beers.
Right. Just have a your best friend come by and sit on a field and have some beers and talk.
Yeah, that sounds it doesn't get much better.
In my old age, that sounds delightful. Yeah.
I know. Well, what I'm doing is like now it's become almost a tradition where myself and this few of our friend couples, we all just make fun Irish food and then get together and drink and have good food. So we're making Scotch eggs. You know, you ever had a Scotch egg?
I've come by and it's usually at your place.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we've had meals. Yep. So we're going to have like Scotch eggs and a bunch of other stuff. So a bunch of Irishy type stuff. And then Catherine, my daughter's friend, was like, she said she wanted to make a bunch of milkshakes for everybody tomorrow night. So she's going to be making shamrock shakes for all of us.
Irish milkshakes?
That's 100% for those of us who are Irish milkshake drinkers. Have some creme de menthe or some creme de coco.
Or just some...
Or just straight up Irish whiskey.
or what's it called? What's the Irish cream?
Irish Carbomb. What's the cream? Baileys.
Baileys.
Baileys in my
it's already creamy.
Milkshakes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that'll be fun. And they actually sent out a text this evening that was like, Catherine's taking orders for what type of ice cream we should get to have in the milkshakes tomorrow. And it was, the consensus was, the options were vanilla or mint chocolate chip. Mm. And everyone chose what, do you think?
Mint chocolate chip.
Mint chocolate chip. Including my daughter, who is not an adventurous foodie, but she does like mint chocolate chip. Unfortunately, because that's what we always used to get, because she wouldn't eat it. So we'd be like, oh, sweet, we can get, you know, ice cream that we know that she won't eat, so there's some left over for Nicole and I. And she trained herself to like it. Now she'll drink. I can't even get coffee ice cream anymore, too. She likes that. She'll force herself to eat it. She's like, I'll eat it, I don't care. It's ice cream.
Who ate the last bit of ice cream? I did. It was gross.
I didn't enjoy any of it.
I had to battle through it.
Don't get any more of the ice cream. I'll eat it all next time too.
Yeah. So yeah, have a nice one. We'll see. Or I'll just sit at home and watch some Irish and finish off these Guinnesses. Guinness. I had three of them.
Not bad. Pretty good. I'll
probably have a couple more tonight. Watch something and then.
You have any other recommendations other than the Banshees of Inisherin?
Inisherin.
Yeah, that too.
You know what? I'm using that one. That's what I'm going to do.
All right. And yeah, you get a free one. So one is the Sex Lives of College Girls. If you're looking for something fun to watch, it has been fun. I've been enjoying watching it. It's been good. It's like captivating enough to keeps you there, keeps you wanting to watch it. But it's also fun and funny and sexy and all the good things.
All right.
And my other one is actually a really cool blade maker named Grace Horn. She's out of the UK, and her Instagram is Grace Horn Designs. And I was just looking, I was kind of searching through Instagram, and she will often pop up. And actually, in the morning, I'll often get notifications that she's doing live streams because of, like, the time difference. So, like, I'll be getting up out of bed at 6:30 or 7, whatever, and it's like, oh, Grace Horn is going live right now on Instagram. But she's a really awesome bladesmith and knife maker, and she focuses a lot on doing scissors. So she'll do like Damascus and she'll do all stuff, but then she'll do these like really super intricate, beautiful design scissors that are, you know, all sorts of cool handle shapes, and they often will like fit together really intricately and cool, you know, so like these super, they're really, really nice. So if you're, you know, looking for something different in the knife making world, check out Grace Horn, because I've like always been super impressed with what she does with making really cool scissors and these like really gorgeous designs. Sometimes she'll replicate historic designs, you know, from scissors from hundreds of years past. And occasionally she also makes teeny, teeny, tiny, like microscopic scissors. Like she'll like build these tiny, super tiny little scissors and other tools that are, you know, like a quarter of an inch tall, but they work perfectly.
All right.
It's crazy. Yeah. So, but yeah, so check out Grace Horn. And again, she's Grace_Horn, Horne_designs on Instagram.
Cool.
There you go. All right, everybody. It has been a blast like always. Again, we will be putting out, maybe we'll put out a podcast earlier. Maybe we'll just, you know, our next podcast will come out next Friday. But it will be a Four Brothers St. Patrick's Day tradition podcast like we've done so far every year. And it'll be a blast, I'm sure. And I hope you guys all enjoy it. Make sure you guys don't forget to head over to Instagram. Check us out there and follow us there to see what's going on every day. And then head over to YouTube and check out the videos there. Like Devin said, we did shoot a little one-day unboxing type thing that was super fun to shoot. So that'll come out. And then that'll come out before the Chopper Challenge. But we're working on the Chopper Challenge video, and so that'll come out too. You guys can head over to YouTube and check us out there. Subscribe if you haven't already, and let us know what you think on comments. And as long as you're not bitching about not getting free stuff, then you have the right to comment as much as you'd like. We appreciate all of them. And if you want to support us further, you can always head over to patreon.com/shattercraftsmanship and sign up there. You can be part of our Discord and chatting there, which we've been chatting with people, showing them what we're working on in the shop. That's been fun to be a little bit more active with that group of people, and you could be one of them. Or you can also just keep on listening for free, which we also enjoy too. We appreciate everybody listening, and you can always leave us a rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening through, because that helps out as well. That's it for now. Devin, always a pleasure.
Yeah.
Everybody else, thank you guys so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com. When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.